Before we get to our study this morning, I ask that you pray with me. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy. We stand in awe of you, of your great power, that you've given us breath and life, and you've given us everything. Father, you've given us our health that we have and the homes that we have, the food that we eat. We know that all good things come from you, that you give us guidance in the way to live and to live a life that is holy, to live a life in love toward you and toward those around us, and to love our enemies. Father, we ask your blessings upon us now as we study your words and we study the book of Galatians. Father, help us to have understanding. May these things change the way that we think and change our heart. And may, Father, may we ever and constantly walk in your Spirit. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, I want to kind of conclude. I keep coming back to the book of Galatians. And so if we go to Galatians this morning, you got your Bible and you can get out the bullets in there and fill in the blanks there and follow along from our exposition. I want to start with an exposition. I want to start with the Bible and draw out and listen to what God and what He has to say to us by His authority and by His Word. And so that's the way that I often take this same approach. One day if I find a better way, because I study the Scriptures and how to preach, and I want to preach and speak in the way that I see in the Bible of drawing out from the Scriptures and drawing out from God's truth, the way that Christ and His apostles have. And so I'm trying to imitate that as best I can. And so this morning I want to do that, and I do that because I want us to be listening to God, listening to His Word, and taking from His message. And so as we've been going in and out of Galatians throughout the summer and to this point, looking at a lot of things in regards to God's promises and His blessings and the giving of His Holy Spirit, we want to look at the subject of walking in the Spirit. As I was studying this and I was looking at it and looking at preaching on this, I preached a very similar message to this exactly a year ago. And I was looking at that one, and I looked at this, and it just every time you go to a certain scripture, you can draw out more from it. And I think that you'll see some more this morning in regards to us walking in the Spirit of God and doing what He wants us to do. And I hope this is a great encouragement to you as it is to me. What does the Holy Spirit, what does the Bible mean by Christians being led by the Holy Spirit? So a lot of ideas out there and a lot of different thoughts on the Holy Spirit, some very strange and peculiar ones. And it seems like you go from one congregation to the next and there's a different idea and a different concept as far as the work of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians, you're going to see, I think, a very vivid picture of what it means to walk by the Spirit, to live by and in the Holy Spirit. And so that we're guided by God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit who was there in the very beginning of creation, who hovered upon the waters, who has been in the hearts and guided the prophets and the writers of the Bible, and has given us the words that are there for us. We now, as Christians, are to walk in the Holy Spirit. I think some people, when they hear the Holy Spirit, they think, oh, this is a great mystery. Or they might have certain assumptions that came up with maybe the way that they were raised and the ideas that come along with the Holy Spirit, or maybe some of the things they've seen on TV, or some of the mockery that's even out there in regards to God's Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. But I think as we look at this, we're going to see some wonderful and beautiful things that, from Galatians here. And this isn't going to give us the full picture, but it's going to be showing you how the Holy Spirit is active in a life in our lives. And so we want Him there in our lives. And the blessings from the Holy Spirit are great and amazing. All right, so let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. And you might be well familiar because we've talked about this passage already I've done in other messages looking at Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17. But I want to put it in the full context of what the Apostle Paul is saying here in his first epistle, his first writing that he's written here for the church. So let's go over there and make some observations from Galatians and draw out what God wants us to see from His Word. Galatians 5, look at verse 13. Paul says, "For you were called to freedom." We've heard that theme a lot this summer. You've been called to freedom, brothers and sisters. "Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Notice the contrast there, the freedom. Don't use it for the flesh, but for love to one another. Listen to this, verse 14. "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So he seems to come back to that. You're not under the law, you're in freedom, and you are being led by the Holy Spirit. What does he mean here? What is he saying? And how is that a blessing and benefit to us? Let's slow down and draw some observations here. First of all, Christians are called again to freedom. We've covered that in detail in the past. But he says, as an opportunity, you know, some people, like we read about in the book of Romans, could use that as an opportunity to say, I've been saved by God's grace, I've been freed from sin, and then they go back to sin. And he says, you don't have any freedom in that. It's not real freedom. He says, this is the opportunity that you have by being saved as a Christian, by being called to freedom by Christ, and that you serve others through love. And I want to emphasize that this morning, because there are some individuals out there who will claim, I have the Holy Spirit, and He speaks to me directly, and He tells me these things. They make these claims, and He gives me these things for me to say. Bold claims. And then you find out later that they don't live a life of love for God or of Christ, that they're living as a hypocrite. They were speaking as a false prophet. The things that they were saying were not true. And so one of the defining characteristics of being led by the Holy Spirit is love. And it's love for your neighbors. It's love for those who are around you. You cannot say that you're being led by the Holy Spirit and you don't love those who are around you. That you don't love your closest neighbors, which starts in your family. That you love them. That you love those who live near you. Those that you shop near, you know, whether Walmart or Publix or wherever you do your shopping. That those are beside you, your neighbors, that you care for them. That those that you pass on the road. We are to love, and especially in the church, we're going to see the application there as well. That if you are led by God's Holy Spirit, you're going to love. And then, as Paul says here, he says, the law is fulfilled in one word. In one commandment, right out of Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. Which we're reading this month. Leviticus 19 verse 18, this very famous passage. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so we see this, the fulfillment of God's law, which is in Christians, and following after the Holy Spirit, means that I'm going to live a life that loves others, that I have compassion for others, that I do good for others, that I give to others, that I share with those who are in need. And you can't say, oh, I'm living and walking in the Holy Spirit when you're not doing that. You don't show it then. And so the application here, Paul takes it the next step and he says to the church, he says, don't bite and devour one another. It's a very vivid description, isn't it? But a church that would argue with one another or a family or that for that matter, any group of Christians who would do that, you know the destruction that comes from that. It is a biting and devouring. And he says it is destructive. You're going to destroy yourselves. Or as the ESV says, you just consume yourselves. And he gets at the heart of it. The problem in this situation, no matter what setting it is, in the workplace, in the home, here in the church, and I think he's making application to these Christians here because they're having some struggles in this church here. There are individuals coming in and telling them, listen, all right, so you've left the pagan gods and you've heard about Jesus. Now let's go follow the law. And Paul's saying, no, that's not how you follow Christ. He says you follow Christ in these ways. You follow His promises. You follow His commandments. You're not under the law of Moses. And he says, and you do this. You love your neighbor. So don't bite and devour and destroy one another. And we looked at other passages that tell us don't grumble and don't dispute. Don't do those kind of things. And so he goes on to make application here. As we think about ourselves and as Christians, if I'm following the Holy Spirit, if I'm being led by God's Holy Spirit and I'm living a life of the love of God in me, then these things shouldn't be present. It's not about biting and devouring. It's not about ruining somebody else. And there's something else going on behind there that Galatians is going to tell us about. We're going to read about that a little bit further as Paul tells us. He says, those who walk by the Spirit, he says, notice this, will not accomplish the desires of the flesh. And it's that constant message we see throughout the Bible that if I love God and I love Christ the way that I've been told to, the way that I've been blessed to, that the Holy Spirit dwelling within me, and if I do it in this way, And I'm constantly looking out for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm looking out for my neighbors. If I'm loving my enemies, if I'm constantly thinking on these things, he says, then you won't accomplish the desires of the flesh. You know, and if someone gets to the point where they're just not living a loving, compassionate life, and they're always thinking about themselves, that's where Paul's going to go, always conceited or self-focused, then they're going to find themselves falling into this list of sins that he mentions on in regards to the desires of the flesh. You're going to go a wet direction and live in a way that you don't really want to live in. It's like Romans chapter 7 says, the thing I don't want to do, I do, and the thing that I do want to do, I don't do. He says, because sin is living in the flesh. And the answer is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way you can counter that. And now, when we've been baptized into Christ, it says in Acts 2:38 that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Romans 8, the part of the passage that was read this morning, our reading, is that if the Spirit of Christ doesn't indwell within you, you are not of Christ. You don't have His blessings. And even though we're baptized into Christ and into His name, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, if I'm not living by love, what have I done? I'm grieving the Holy Spirit. I'm cutting off the Holy Spirit and His work within my heart. And that is wrong. We read about this as well, that the flesh again desires, and desires of the flesh, the indwelling sin, is contrary to the Holy Spirit. And then Paul says there that the Spirit desires what is contrary to the flesh. So if I'm focused on the things of the Spirit, on loving others, on loving God, on keeping His commandments, of telling others about the promises of Christ, then these things will be manifested. Another thing that's a great indication of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is we want to do this. Pay attention to Galatians 4:6. Galatians 4:6 says that the Holy Spirit cries out, Abba, Father, within our hearts. You read that over in Romans 8 too. Testifying, giving witness that of His dwelling within us. If your heart doesn't cry out toward God, there's a problem. If you're a baptized Christian and you don't want to pray to Him and seek Him out, if you don't want to worship Him, if you're just kind of dead to that, then I would encourage you to come back to Him in prayer and to look at others with love. And not to live a life where you're always thinking about yourself and looking down upon others or whatever it might be going on within your heart. So the opposition of the Spirit and the flesh, they keep you, he says, from doing what you want, as we also saw in Romans 7. He says there that those who are led by the Spirit, again, he says, if you're led by the Spirit, what does that mean? Being led by the Spirit is the same thing as walking by the Holy Spirit, walking in the Holy Spirit. You're not under the law. You're not under condemnation. You're free now. And there is a freedom and a life that is committed to just loving others, to loving your neighbor, to loving those within your family. That's your life. That's a great life. That's a wonderful life. You can make up all a list of the things that you want to accomplish in your life and be as disappointed as you want to. Life can be filled with tons of disappointment. But if your goal in life is to love my spouse, to love my children, to love my family, to love those around me, to love the church, that's where you're going to find meaning and purpose that God has given to you. That's it. That's when you're being led by the Holy Spirit. And so the main point is this, I'm reading over these observations from that passage, that the faithful walk by the Spirit by loving their neighbors. And by the love for one's neighbors, the Apostle Paul taught that Christians, again, walk by the Spirit. And in this way, they don't fulfill the desires of the flesh. So if you find yourself struggling in sin, you might want to reorient your love for others. That's a key part of being led by God's Holy Spirit. And then Paul says, he goes on and further in Galatians and he tells us about these things. He talks about the sins of the flesh, and usually people think about the works of the flesh. They think about sexual sins, and those are there at the beginning here, but there's a lot more in this list. So just to be reminded of this, look here again what it says in Galatians 5:19 through 21. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident. You can see this. It's sexual immorality. This is sex outside of marriage. And he says impurity, that's sexual impurity. Sensuality, that's lewdness, maybe in the way that you speak or the way that you dress. Idolatry, sorcery, also from the Greek word pharmakeia, which probably infers some drug use there. Enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger. So someone might say, well, those sexual sins, I don't have a problem with that. But you might have an issue with enmity. that you're always in strife and anger toward others, that you're dealing with jealousy and envy and fits of anger. He says rivalries and dissensions that come up. And there it is, that conceited idea of biting and devouring one another. All right? So those dissensions, those divisions that can come up. Envy, drunkenness, orgies, or meaning, probably better translation, just wild parties that would include all the things that you read about right before there. And things like these. Things like these. And listen to what Paul says. He says, I warn you. Well, we need warnings. And Paul does this at the beginning of Galatians. He gives a warning. He says, if you change the gospel, you're anathema. You're cut off. You're a curse. And he says it again. He says, I'm telling you, if you change the gospel, if anybody preaches another gospel, they're anathema. Here he says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because they're the flesh. They're not of God's Spirit. They're not of love. They're not of what God has given to you in the way that which you are to live. These are contrary to Him. And so if you see these things in your life, you know, I need to repent. I need to go to God in prayer. I need to make change in my heart, and especially in love toward Him and love toward those who are around me. Now listen to this. Galatians chapter 5, 22 to 23. You now have the fruit of the Spirit. And so the subject here of being led by the Holy Spirit. And so loving your neighbor, and notice the first product, the first thing that the Holy Spirit should be producing on us is what? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. It starts there. The love for God and the love for others. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And he says, and against such things there is no law. There's no condemnation against this. There's no burdens about this. This is the way to live. And that's a beautiful way to live. That's what I want in my life, that product there. And I know that we looked at that before, but I want you to read the verses right after that and pay careful attention on the subject of love and being led by the Holy Spirit. So the verses right after that, verses 24 through 26, Galatians 5. Paul says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You put them to death. Why? Because now you're living in a life that is compassion and loving and caring toward other people. And you're doing it the way that Christ did, and the way the Bible tells you to. And you're changing your heart in that way. And that includes loving our enemies. It's difficult. You know, you might drive through your neighborhood and, you know, see the guy who works for the head of the HOA there and like, I don't like him. And that other person who comes out and stares at you every morning and never waves at you, but they stare at you as you're leaving, taking your kids to school. Not that these are real people. I'm just coming up with them off the top of my head. But anyways, you might have those peculiar neighbors. And what does the Bible say? It says, love your enemies and love your neighbors. And it doesn't say that it's often going to be easy. It's many times difficult. But I would rather have the difficulty of loving my neighbor and my enemies than any of these struggles with the sins of the flesh. I want to work at this. I want to commit to Christ and to His Holy Spirit. So I want to put to death and crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. He says, and if we live by the Spirit, what does that mean, live by the Spirit? Same thing as being led by the Spirit. Same thing as walking by the Spirit. He says, let us also keep in step, as He uses a different word here for walk by the Spirit. He says, and listen to this, let us not become conceited. So He gives a warning here. Yes, you're walking in the Spirit, but you've got to watch yourself. Because you can become self-involved. You can become self-centered. You can become conceited. And what kind of person is that? This is the kind of person that starts to provoke other people, to stir them up, to just try to rile them up, to get reactions out of them. You never known somebody like that? Or envying. They're coveting other people. You always coveting, like comparing yourself to other people. What a disappointing life that would be. Don't do that. All right, don't be conceited. If your mind is on love and compassion and being led by the Spirit, those are things that we want to take with a warning from Paul here, that God, by His Holy Spirit, is speaking through this apostle and telling you, don't go down that route. Don't be conceited. Don't provoke others. Don't be envious. Those things will only hinder you. Stay right there in the love of God. And so we see this, that we walk by the Spirit, we're trusting in God's promises. We've been studying that in Galatians. And we're seeing here that when we do this, and when we're loving others, that we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You know, this makes me think about Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians 4, he says you need to put off your old self and put on your new self. And he says you need to put to death these sinful things in your life. And he tells you how. This is great counseling and advice. He says, if you used to steal, he says, don't steal anymore, but work and give to those who are in need. Well, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? I'm not living by the flesh now. I'm living by the Holy Spirit because now I'm working to give to others. Because your thinking is, I want to work and I want to do these things so that I can give to others. And you can go down that whole list. You know, as far as drinking and sexual immorality, there's a lot right there in Ephesians chapter 1 to where you can take it and say, I need to replace this and replace this in my heart. And God gives me a way of doing that so that I don't go after the flesh. Keep reading in Galatians and you go right into chapter 6. Again, this is put there by man. Galatians 6. And he says this, he says again about loving your neighbor is fulfilling the law. He says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you know what that is. If someone is sinning and you see it, he says, brothers and sisters, anyone's caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual, you who are of the Holy Spirit, should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. And so you see your brother in Christ sinning, say something to him. You see your sister doing something, your sister in Christ, you want to confront them and lovingly and do it with gentleness. And he says at the same time, keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. He says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I want to note that. Fulfill the law of Christ. Why is he saying that again? He's saying that's the love. Here's that love. You want the fruit of the Holy Spirit? You want to walk in the Spirit by being focused on love, by loving your neighbor? He says, this is what you're going to do. You're going to look out for your brothers and sisters in Christ, for those around you, and you're going to warn them and help them through sin. You're going to watch out for yourself in the process. You're going to bear one another's burdens. The word for burden here is going to come up again, but it's a different word. But this burden means an overbearing burden, like they're going to be crushed by it. He says, go and help them bear that. He says, so fulfill the law of Christ. Keep reading there. Chapter 6, verses 3 through 6, he says, for if anyone thinks he's something, notice this, he's come back to the theme of being conceited. You're conceited. I think I'm something. I'm going to be the greatest of this and all the world's going to see it. You know, he says, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. It's a great deception. It's to be so self-involved like that, so self-centered. He says, but let each one test his own works. You know, don't compare yourself to others. Test your own works. And God's going to be the one in the standard by which you examine yourself. He says, then he has reasons to boast. Where? In himself alone and not in his neighbor. In other words, instead of envying and saying, look how much better I am than my neighbor, or my neighbor has all these things because he's privileged and he's given all these things and I don't have them for this reason. Don't live like that. You live in God and in Christ. Don't compare yourself to your neighbor. He says, for each one will have his own load to bear. And then this load here means like you're carrying a backpack. This is not the overburdening bearing that he mentioned before. But you're carrying your own pack through life. He says, let the one who has taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. This passage right here in verse 6, sharing with the one who teaches, has often been connected with give to them and make sure that they are paid, you know. And looking at the context of this passage, I don't know if that's what that passage is saying at all, but I do know this, that every teacher who teaches a Bible class over here wants to hear of good things that you've done. Everyone who's taught a teenage class, they want to hear from those. You, as a teacher, you want to hear the good things that are happening. You want to hear the blessings of God's work. Don't boast in others. He says, but if you're going to speak of the things that are good things happen in your life, you do need those mentors in your life, those who teach and instruct you and have guided you, maybe your parents and so forth, to tell them of the good things that are going on, to share it with them and encourage them. And this is all, again, about being led by the Holy Spirit. I would encourage you this morning as we think about loving our neighbor as ourself, that it's a part of the Christian life. It's essential to your salvation. It's a part of that fruit of the Spirit. It's so essential. And I know it's a basic lesson. You know, a lot of people, we go around and say, just love your neighbor as yourself. But Paul has told us here, there's a lot of things that can get in the way of you doing that. Going after the flesh gets in the way. Being conceited and selfish gets in the way. How should I think? How do I think on the Holy Spirit? Of course, the obvious answer is by God's word. But I want you to think about this. As you're driving down the road, you think about those of whom you can help. As you're walking through the grocery store, wherever you are, at work, whatever the context is, your mind always, your eyes always be open to those who are in need. I think about those in the past who kept their eyes open when I was in need. Growing up in the church, and in part of my life, I barely had anything. I remember there were women in the church who would come up to me and said, "Scott, I know you need this." And when I was in beginning in college, they would help me. They'd send me money. They'd give me food. They'd even buy me clothes. And I needed it. I didn't have to tell them. They opened their eyes and they saw the need for it. And I hope that we're doing the same thing. When we see others around us who are in need, that we give to them, that we help them. And in that we show that we are walking by the Holy Spirit and that we are led by the Spirit of God. I encourage you, again, walk by the Holy Spirit. Always be prepared. Be prepared to take time to pull over, to take time out of your day to go help somebody else. Keep some cash in your wallet just to help someone who's in need. Keep it there for that reason, for that purpose, that you can give to somebody who is in need. Think in this way. These are wonderful things to think about. These are things that if we think more about these, we're going to keep ourselves free from conceit and sin and things of the flesh, and we're focused on the truth of God's Word. You know, if we're living a conceited life and we're opening our Bibles, we can read those things. You can even stand up and teach about them and not be right. Let's make sure we repent. Go to God in prayer. Make some changes in our life. I want to encourage you with this final passage right there out of our text. Galatians 6, verses 7 through 10. So beautiful. Again, he says, do not be deceived. He's constantly warning. Don't deceive yourselves. It's oftentimes that we deceive ourselves. We convince ourselves the way that we're living is okay. He says this, God is not mocked. You can't mock his word. You can't say what God said was going to be done is not going to happen. He says this, for whatever one sows, he will also reap. And so the idea of mocking God is, well, I'm going to keep living however I want to live. And things will be fine. You're mocking God when you do that. He says here, but whatever one sows, he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. You're going to reap decay. He says, but the one who sows to the Spirit, there again, he comes back to the Holy Spirit. The one who sows to the Spirit, sowing the seed, will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Oh, that's a beautiful statement. If I will sow to the Spirit, if I will look out for those who are around me, if I'll open my eyes and love my neighbor and love my enemy, that's sowing to the Spirit. And I will reap eternal life. And he says, and let us not grow weary in doing good. Sometimes I feel that. You ever feel that? I just kind of worn down. At times that I've helped certain individuals over and over again, they never repent, they never change, I never see them, they never come back asking for God's Word. I know that you can relate to that. And what Paul says here is he says, don't be discouraged. Don't grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. Do good to everyone, and especially to those who are the household of faith. Do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith, to those in the church. And that's how we sow to the Spirit. That's the blessing of the Holy Spirit in his life and the product of the fruit of the Spirit in our life. And it's a wonderful thing. I encourage you this morning, if you haven't put on Christ in baptism, to do so. The Bible says that you become a child of God. Those who have been baptized into Christ, Galatians chapter 3, 23 to 27, so that again the Holy Spirit calls out from within our heart, Abba, Father. If you haven't put on Christ in baptism, do so. You can do it this morning. You need prayers and encouragement, come forward and let us pray with you. Find someone to be an encouragement to you. Let's stand and sing together.